If you're a dog lover or if you have dogs, have you ever wondered why so many dogs are suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more health issues with dogs than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place where we can look to support any dog's health, and that's their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Now, Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And I actually love giving Mojo this as a topper. I feel good that there are no fillers, and it's also air dried. So that means it retains more nutrients. Mojo's usually pretty picky about what he eats, so I'm glad that he now enjoys every meal. And now you can treat your dogs to healthy, nutritious food. Go to badlandsfood.com/dateable and order right now to get up to 50% off your first regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to BADLANDSfood.com/DATEABLE today.
The Dateable Podcast is an insider's look into modern dating that the Huffington Post calls one of the top 10 podcasts about love and sex. On each episode, we'll talk to real daters about everything from sex parties to sex droughts, date fails to diaper fetishes, and first moves to first loves. I'm your host, Yue Xu, former dating coach turned dating sociologist. You'll also hear from my co-host and producer, Julie Krafchik, as we explore this crazy dateable world.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Dateable, a show all about modern dating, where we dig into the whys of people's behavior, especially when it comes to their love lives. Why do people do the things that they do? Julie, do you have all the answers?
No, I don't. I wish I did. I have all of the answers is what I meant to say.
But you know, it's I think it's funny when I hang out with my single friends, just because I'm not single, they feel like I should have all the answers. Also because we have a dating podcast. So a lot of the times they're like, come on, you know what's happening. Like, tell me the truth. And I'm like, no, I'm not a psychic. I cannot tell you what's going on in people's minds.
That reminds me of Liza Schlesinger's comedy. She's like, there's the secret road on the side. And she's like, if I knew the secret, I wouldn't have waited to 35 to get married, you know?
The fact is nobody has the answers. Even the people who are dating experts, even the people who are really good at dating, they don't have the answers because everyone's so different. You cannot read people's minds. But at least on this show, we try to get down to the bottom of why people do the things they do.
All you can do is control your own mindset and be aware of the different ways that people think about things and have conversations. I think that's really ultimately it. Like, when people always write in, it's not just our podcast. I've heard this on other podcasts. When you write in like the long-winded question, it's like, have you talked to your partner first? Or have you talked to that person in question? That's usually going to solve like 80%.
And I also want to bring up, I just want to call out some of our YouTube commenters because I knew this would happen. So we migrated our Dateable YouTube account to my old Ask Miss Single Fight account, which was dating advice for men. I had a lot of young men watching my channel, and I knew we would get comments that would be women hating or guys who were very down about dating. And I want to call out some of these comments. We're not going to answer all of them one by one, but if you really want to enjoy your love life and your dating life, you cannot blame other people. Those comments are counterproductive, saying, oh, why women suck? Like, what is women's value to this world? Like, why do you even need to comment? If those are the negative thoughts you have in your head, I'd rather have you not be a subscriber. I'd rather have you not comment and comment where else, someone on someone else's channel who may actually want to have a conversation with you. I just think in dating, we have to stop blaming other people. We can only control our own actions, and we're all guilty of doing something not great in dating. So let's spend that time correcting our own behavior.
So what was it that someone, one of your friends asked you, expecting you to have like the crystal ball?
Oh my gosh, just the whole, someone I've been dating says this to me and it doesn't make me feel good. Do you think he's saying it to me because he really means it? Or do you think he's saying it to me because he wants attention? I don't know.
You're like, I've never met the guy in my life.
I'm not dating your partner. Like, how would I know? Go ask him. You're the one who sees him all the time. Like, I don't know. Do you want me to text him? I don't have a crystal ball in front of me. It's just, I get it. I think also I would say this about women is a lot of times we ask for advice when we just want to vent.
Yeah, and, for sure.
You know, I think she just wanted to vent, but it's packaged in a way of asking for advice. So this is my advice to all the women out there. If you want to vent, just say you want to vent. And as a girlfriend to all the women out there who want to vent, it is also my responsibility to always ask, okay, before I give you my opinion, are you looking for advice or are you looking to vent? You're right? Like, let's decipher that.
It's to vent, but also validation. I think that's another reason. I mean, I've done it before. I'm not going to play innocent here. Sometimes you just want your friend or someone to, like, you know, take your side on it. So I do get the flip side of, like, using it as to vent to your friends and, you know, people talk in our Facebook group. I actually think talking to people that are a little more removed is actually better, because the problem when you vent to your friends is you usually don't share all the good things, because then it comes off as like bragging and it's weird. So then your friends only hear the negative. And then if you do pursue this relationship, they have a really weird vision. I know that's happened to me with friends. It's like people will vent and you meet their partner, or you have met their partner and you know their partner, and you're just like, is this a healthy relationship? Because you only hear one side of it. So I think that is something that I've learned over the years of, like, there's a thin line of, like, sharing stuff with your friends and bonding, and then also necessarily, like, disclosing every last dirty detail about your relationship, opposed to, like, just working it through with the person in the relationship.
And maybe this is a generalization, but I definitely feel this with my girlfriends. Now, with my guy friends, it's a totally different story. So this week, we've been in LA. We've been hanging out with my boyfriend's guy friends. And at the beginning of dinner, it's very sober. Everyone's in their 30s, mid to late 30s. Everyone seems to have their shit together. We have these very mature conversations. Some of the guys are in relationships. You know, it's like very nice to have these conversations with a bunch of dudes. And then we head out to an outdoor bar later. And as more drinks are coming around, the conversations revert back to their 13-year-old self. And I think a lot of guys are guilty of this when they get into this group situation. Mm. Our dinner conversation was all about future thinking, how to change the world, like what our purpose is in life. And all of a sudden, we're at the bar and one of the guys is like, yeah, I smashed that, like under his breath. And I don't even know who he's talking about. He's literally just like directing these words at some random girl across the bar. He's like, yeah, I smashed that. Like, excuse me, what grade are we in now? Why are you reverting back?
It's so interesting, because I feel like, I mean, not to generalize, but what we were just saying is, like, women don't want to brag about their partner in relationship, and then men are, like, the opposite. Like, they don't vent, but they will be like, I did this.
Yeah. It becomes a checklist of all the things that they've been so good at. But this is also, like, kind of a great way to frame our would you rather this week. Mm. So the would you rather was, in your love life, would you rather be known as the romantic or the realist?
Mm.
And I think it's, again, it's like how you interpret this question, but I purposely wrote this question as, how do you want to be perceived? Not what you really are.
Interesting.
So now that I can clarify the question, Julie, what would be your answer to this?
Ooh, this is tough, because I definitely am the romantic for sure. Yue, you know that. I feel like I was actually just with our friend Louise that helps us with some of the podcast stuff too. I was just talking to her in a park about this, and I feel like I'm always the one that's like, why can't, like, we move mountains to make this work? Like, I'm not the realist at all. Like, I'm always with people that are much more realistic. And then, like, if you actually look at, like, what they're saying, it's totally valid. And I'm probably, like, living in a fantasy. But I don't think I would trade that, because I do think at the end of the day, maybe this is my romantic side coming out, but I do believe if two people really will do what it takes to make it work, you can make it work. Like, there are always going to be barriers, and I get that some barriers are bigger than others. I'm not trying to, like, undermine that there are certain things that are harder to overcome than others, but I think a lot of it comes down, again, to your mindset. Like, is this a priority? Is this something that you can have, like, a growth mindset on, or do you feel like it's going to, like, hinder it? Yeah, I mean, maybe I get hurt more because I'm the romantic, but I think I wouldn't trade it. What about you?
I'm happy that you are sticking to your romantic side, because I do think, like, in order to be in a really healthy relationship, you need to have a nice balance of both. But in today's world, with how we approach dating, too many people are a little too much of a realist. And when two people are too realistic about things that could happen, then the relationship will never push forward. Because let's be honest, if you're being realistic, you're like, actually, there's a 50% chance of us working out.
Right.
You need the romantic in the relationship to give it hope and to give it this push to move forward. So I'm glad you're sticking to your guns. Personally, for me, I think I'm too much of a realist. All of my boyfriends have said I'm too direct, and it hurts their feelings. And I tend to date sensitive men. And one good example is my boyfriend's been working out. He's gaining a little bit of muscle, and he just wants a little bit of acknowledgement. And it's so hard for me to say, babe, you look good. You're gaining muscle. Instead, I'm like, oh, you definitely don't have the genes to be super buff.
Poor guy.
You're doing the best you can. And that is the Asian tiger mom in me that will always give you that B minus. Like, you're never going to get above a B minus, right? In my eyes. Even though in my mind, I want to. That's such a compliment.
So when Yui gives you a compliment, you know that, like, you really deserve that compliment.
Yeah, or I'm really drunk, because I do not give compliments at all. But I need to be more of a romantic, because I realize we all need that. Yeah. We need that whimsical side. We need to believe in something. Otherwise, then, like, why are we getting into relationships? Otherwise, you'd be like, actually, all the statistics are proving that I should be alone versus being in a relationship.
The only downside, though, and I'm, like, literally just regurgitating a conversation I just had, so this is just ironic, but I think this comes up a lot, is, like, I feel like it sets you up, though, for failure sometimes when you're romantic. Because, like, I definitely have this, like, love conquers all mentality, and it's just not realistic sometimes. Like, for example, when my boyfriend got deported, or I always say got deported, it's much more dramatic, but he basically just lost his visa. But we'll go with the deported story.
I like deported. That's more of a storyline.
Yeah, exactly.
We can get a movie deal that way.
This is the romanticized version of myself. He was thrown out of this country, but no. But I think, like, in that situation, he was very realistic. Like, he's like, the odds of me getting a visa, the odds of this working when we're, like, in different time zones. But I was like, we can make it work, you know? Like, and I think that it's a positive and a negative at the same time.
Well, I think you can be a romantic in the how you're being perceived, but realistic in your approach. I would want my partner to consider me romantic, but in order to save my own heart, I can still have a very realistic approach.
So that might be the part that I want to change, if we're going to talk about change. Because I think I also tend, one of my patterns that I need to break is that you and I are very different this way. Like, I feel like when you're done with someone, you're done.
Oh, done. They're dead.
I linger forever. Like, I don't ever break up with anyone. I mean, like, I do, but, like, they're always still in my life to some capacity. And I actually, fun fact, had someone new reappear this week, so.
Oh, heyo, don't leave us hanging. Who?
This was the weird situation of this guy that I met on Hinge that I never actually met in real life, but we continued to talk from London, but we have been back chatting.
And did he reach out?
Yes. It was, like, you know, COVID related. You know, it's all like, how are things going over there? Like, the usual line. And now it's progressed. And it might have got a little steamy this week. So I won't say anything more. But
how can you not say anything more? You basically said he reached back out to talk about COVID and then it got steamy. I don't know how you can talk about COVID and then get steamy from there.
It wasn't
I'm sorry.
Steamy.
How's COVID going on over there? How many deaths have you had? What are you wearing? Like, how does that conversation go
down? That was exactly
down?
The convo.
What the fuck?
No, it just it transitioned, you know. Great. You just need the COVID entry point and then you can turn the virtual sex on. This wasn't video, it was more just sexting type convos. But you know, it's not a viable prospect for me. The romantic version of myself understands that someone I've never actually met that lives across the world is probably not the right fit. But that being said, what else am I doing right now in COVID? You know, you got to take it for what it is.
Yeah, exactly. But that's also a very realistic way of looking at this situation.
Maybe I have turned a bridge. Maybe I am a little more realistic than I think. There was a point that I was too, okay, this has gone a little outside of what we were saying. I guess what I was originally saying is I tend to keep people around, like past exes of mine, like my last ex, we broke up, got back together like multiple times. And there's a point where that's not healthy, but I think the romantic side of me thinks that there's like a story that's going to play out a certain way. Mm. It's like a fairy tale that
for sure
love conquers all, that it will end in the way that it's supposed to be with us together, but that's just not always realistic. So it gets in your way of meeting new people is what I'm trying to say in a long-winded way.
Well, it's your way of putting in a narrative when a narrative has not started yet.
Yeah, it's creating
been guilty.
A narrative that may not actually be the narrative you should be following in life, basically.
Right, right. Because you're setting yourself up for disappointment.
Yeah. So right. I don't know. I think you could argue pros and cons of both the realist and the romantic. I think mm-hmm. it's probably striking the balance. Like maybe I'm turning a point, like you just said, is I still have the romantic side, but I also can be like, okay, this is take it for what it is. It's a fun thing to do during COVID. That's it.
Yeah. I always think about our conversation with Ryan Van Duser, his journey to find love. I forget which season. Such
season
a great conversation.
Nine.
Okay. Listen to Julie.
So many
she
good
knows.
Ones. Yes.
He talks about just his, I don't know, quote unquote failures when it comes to his search for love. But in his eyes, he's just fueling his romantic side. And he's like, I'm a romantic at heart and I will be a romantic through and through, even though I've had so many heartbreaks. And I think about that quite a bit because I believe romance is a religion and you subscribe to it. And you believe in it and you stick with it. And even though some things are unexplainable and it could break your heart, but if you truly believe in it, that's a goal in itself. And I think you can fulfill that even without a partner.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's how do you want to tell your life story? You know, like if we're truly not defining relationship success in longevity, maybe it is okay to have like a romantic spin that you've learned and loved and lost and all this versus like, I'm just a failure at relationships. Like that's not going to really mm-hmm. help you either. So.
Mm-hmm. So this is very much in line with the results of the survey of would you rather. 51% said that they're romantic, 49% said that they're realist, which really is just 50-50%.
Wow.
I think people identify with both and there was no clear winner. But I also saw a lot of people were flip-flopping back and forth on our Facebook page because they were like, well, I am this, but I want to be perceived as this. And I think that's the takeaway here is what are you currently today? Where are you trying to get to?
Or the takeaway is how do you add balance in? I think that's really what it is because neither one is right or wrong. If you're totally like in the sky all the time, you're removed from reality, which is not great either. So
yeah. Well, then you and I are complete opposites with this journey. I'm too realistic.
This is
I'm
why it works more out.
you're too romantic. You're trying to get more realistic. And this goes into our conversation today with Kimmy because Kimmy is all about, she's an image consultant, but she's also about like how you feel about yourself. You can also show that externally.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggle with this too because I'm so much of a realist that when I go on dates, I dress literally in athleisure wear. Because to me, I'm like, oh, if we're walking around, I want to be comfortable. I want to make sure I don't wear a romper or a onesie because how do I pee? You know, I think about like the very practical things.
Interesting.
But if I let the romantic side come out, then I should put in more effort because it also shows my date that I'm putting in the effort. I would also value that date more if I put in more effort. So that's what I need to work on.
I never thought about this way, but pre-COVID, I'm not going to talk about dating in COVID because let's be honest, no one's wearing dresses right now on dates.
No.
But pre-COVID, I always wore dresses to dates, every single date.
Yes, I remember and you saying that.
It was a way for me to mentally like take this and make it a special occasion. And maybe yeah. that is a romantic side of me, that it is a special Absolutely. Occasion. And yeah, like there's something a little like girly fairy tale of like wearing a dress, you know?
But also you're showing to your date that this is not platonic.
Yep.
You're not going to the gym together. You're not like hiking together, which is normally how I am dressed. But I would also say, you just said nobody's wearing dresses during COVID. Girl, I'm in LA. These girls, I was out for breakfast at 9 a.m. This girl was in like Valentino heels and like this little dress. At a sidewalk cafe. I'm like, girl.
LA is different. But I also think it's because of no one's walking in LA. That's the difference.
That's true.
In yeah, San Francisco and other cities, like you're walking like 2 miles to get to a date sometimes.
So true.
Although yeah. now people, I mean, I've definitely been using Uber a lot more recently. And I think a lot of people are just because we're getting more comfortable. And also like COVID, apparently, like all the stuff about like it being on surfaces really isn't how it's spreading anymore is what we've right. learned. So I think people's comfort with Uber has definitely gone up. And I mean, I can tell from the prices it's gone up, right? Like they're yes. gauging yes. it. So I feel like maybe now people will dress up a little on dates again. And also like now you can go to a restaurant. When we first did socially distanced dates, if you were going on like a hike or a park, you're not going to sit. I would never sit in a park with like a dress on.
It would just you know? Never happen. But I've seen people do it and it looks very Instagram worthy. It looks awesome.
That's
so maybe,
true.
I don't know. Well, maybe should we just try it?
I mean, that's what we've learned from this episode. I'm so excited about this episode because I admit I was a little skeptical when I first like read the description of it. And like when we were talking about this topic of like the outside in, because I feel like we always hear, right? Like you got to get yourself in order first. But that being said, I think there's so many valid points in this episode. And our guest, Kimmy, who is amazing, actually, she did a makeover with me.
Virtual makeover.
I saw firsthand this entire process. So I'll give a little more insider to that. We actually have a little video clip, too, that we're putting on social. Mm-hmm. So you can see the whole thing go down. But I think the part was that I thought, like, oh, you know, like when you hear about like looks and dating is a loaded subject. No one's going to deny that looks matter, but I think it's like people can get easily offended, right? Because if you don't fit whatever stereotype people think are like the attractive mold, it's really difficult. But what Kimmy never talks about that, it's all about like, how do you look the best for you? And yes. like, how do you put your best foot forward? And I think that part was amazing. And then like on my virtual makeover, like she literally was just like, you have broad shoulders. You should just be wearing V-necks. You have big boobs, broad shoulders, accentuated.
What'd she call your boobs?
The twins.
Yes.
She called them the twins, which made me chuckle. But she was basically like, just own the V-neck, show off the boobs a little more. It also brings your shoulders in. So you have more of that like hourglass. So she was not really telling me to do any major changes. They were just tiny tweaks and like different colors. And like you've even said this before, like certain pink tones that make you look more fertile or like red that, you know, like there's certain psychology of colors that attracts men and women. And she gave tips for men too. This was not solely for women.
Exactly.
So I think this episode is just like action packed with a lot of like really small tidbits that you can like apply tomorrow, which is amazing. Cause let's be honest, the inner work takes some time. So like, gotta maximize something.
At the end of the day, it's all marketing. You could have a really great cereal that you spent years perfecting and it's like vegan, non-GMO, you know, like gluten-free, whatever. It's like everything that everybody wants right now. But if you don't package it right, then nobody's going to take it off the shelf because they don't know anything about what's inside.
Exactly.
So I think she makes a really good point that we dress to our fullest potential. I guess that's what it is. And if you think about superheroes, as soon as they put on their superhero costume, they act, they talk, and they look like superheroes. And that's what all of us are capable of doing. I know I have this one pair of pants, high-waisted, wide-leg pants, that whenever I wear them, my friends will be like, did you get taller?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
And I
think I know the pants. Yeah.
Do you know the pants? Because it's It's like, Julie, yeah. I didn't get taller. It's just that I have confidence. So much confidence exactly. that my posture is better.
Exactly. And like, I know personally when I've had all like my serious relationships, I've attracted people when I felt the best about myself.
Yes.
And even right now, like I just got a haircut 2 weeks ago. Yes. I feel so much better than I did 2 weeks ago. Like I feel so much more confident to do video dates, which I have another one mm-hmm. coming up tonight. So Woo! Keep you guys posted if there's anything.
Get that V-neck on.
Oh, also ironically though, you know how we talked about you asked if the date that I've gotten so much outreach on this one, the date that did not like the podcast, if I heard yes. from him and I was like, no, I think it faded. His ears must have been ringing because he literally texted me like an hour after we recorded.
No. And what did he say?
He was just like, how's your week or something generic.
Oh, and then
and I do want to point out, we actually had someone in our Facebook group make a really good comment on it. And she was like, listening to it, he missed a huge opportunity. Like, even if he doesn't like the content, he could have like complimented you on your conversational skills, your speaking ability, as I butcher the word speaking, but but she was like saying how like if she dated a sports anchor, a sports host, she doesn't like sports, but there's so many like good things she could like find to compliment him. So I think I just wanted to like reiterate that, not just to make myself feel better, but also just in general for like other people, because I think that's such a good point. It's like, even if you're not down with what someone's doing, there's always something that you can find in it to relate to them in a positive way and show your support. So
absolutely. Absolutely. It's all about connecting. You're never going to connect with someone on all of their interests, but no. you can connect with them on a personal level that goes beyond just like the superficial interests and everything. So yes,
but her posting that reminded me that I left him on read and forgot to respond to his message. So I did, you know, I just like, I've been going back and forth with it. I just threw the, hey, like I've been thinking about this longer and I don't think it's the right fit. Just even though he didn't ask to hang out, I was just like, I don't need to like keep dragging this on kind of. And then he just replied, okay. How was it?
So. I was going to say, why don't you text him the link to this episode? No words wasted. Here's how I really feel. Thank you very much.
I do want to call out before we do quick announcements. We actually had someone on Instagram give us very important information. Thank you, Natalie. Yes. Who reached out in relation to last week's episode. So for anyone that missed last week's episode, it was an amazing episode. We touched on like
so good.
Really important topics with interracial dating and racism in 2020 and all that's going on in the US and how that affects relationships. But before we got into that in the intro, we kind of did a piggyback on the week before, which is also a good plug for that episode, but about our guest that is choosing to remain a virgin and how UA saw the Virginity Rocks t-shirt, a teen in it on a hike. And Natalie wrote us that this actually is apparently a big trend started by a YouTuber that like Dude. All these teens are wearing this line of Virginity Rocks t-shirts that this YouTuber, I'm trying to pull up his name, Danny Duncan, a set 27-year-old YouTube personality and prankster. So apparently he wore it as a joke in his YouTube videos, but they've taken off as a line of merch. So the power of merch.
I'm reading this New York Times interview with him right now, and he says, I have sex, obviously, but I want people to do whatever they want to do and not be pressured into anything. He yeah. also sells practice safe sex shirts as Amen. Well. I knew this would be some sort of like viral, some millennial or Gen Z, whatever, influencer thing. Because think about it. All we ever learned in elementary school and middle school was practice safe sex, practice safe sex. We thought it was so stupid because adults were telling us that. We're like, no, I'm not going to practice safe sex. But now because some YouTuber wears it on his show, it's like all of a sudden cool, you know?
Elementary school Jeez. Should hire YouTubers for like the DARE program.
Why don't they? You know, they should have these YouTubers saying like, the only drug I take is aspirin or whatever. Like make it cool to be virgins and to be sober. I think that's the only way to get to younger people, because I will not listen to adults. Like when we went to safe sex sex ed classes. I mean, don't you remember all we did after the classes were look up? I don't even know how we looked up because there was no internet. We would research what sex was and look at pictures. Oh, yeah. Like, that's all we, it just made us more curious about sex.
I just think of Mean Girls, of like the gym teacher being like, you will die if you don't have safe sex. It's like, use a condom or die.
Yeah, fear tactics will definitely not work in that. So I'm glad we got to the bottom of that. So that means if we have any younger dateable listeners who want to rock some dateable shirts, we'd be happy to send them to you because obviously we'd be so cool. Any 27-year-old YouTubers want to wear a shirt that says stay dateable, please let us know. We'll send you some swag.
Sounds like a plan.
We got it down. Okay, before we get to announcements, I just want to take a moment to thank our sponsor. Our sponsor is BetterHelp. And in these unprecedented times, some of us may be experiencing feelings that we haven't felt before. So we've talked about feeling anxiety for myself or having these feelings of depression. So it's good to check in with your mental health and know that you're not alone in this because BetterHelp is here for you. They offer online counseling with professional, credible, and compassionate therapists in a safe and private environment. Their counselors specialize in everything, including relationships, trauma, heartbreaks, depression. And with 3,000 U.S. licensed professionals across 50 states, they make it easier than ever to find help. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp. They're recruiting for additional counselors in all 50 states. Now, for Dateable listeners only, you get 10% off your first month with the code Dateable. Get started today by going to betterhelp.com/dateable and join 1 million people, over 1 million people, taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's betterhelp.com/dateable and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off your first month. Now, let's get to announcements. Where are we starting with? Instagram.
Follow us on Instagram.
Always on the gram. We post, we do stories, we do silly things, we also do deep things. And you also get like behind the scenes look at some of our guests, which is always fun. So at Dateable Podcast,
yeah,
Instagram.
And you can tell us stuff like Natalie did with Virginity Rocks. You know, it's like a two-way street here. But also the Facebook group is where it's really at. Like the Facebook group is, you know, I think it's a very positive part of the internet. We talked about earlier, you know, like he said, she said, like getting upset with the opposite sex and having negativity. Like we don't see any of that in the Facebook group. And honestly, like that has been the most pleasant surprise of all, just like the diversity and just like age and gender and race and pretty much any way you can be diverse. It's been an amazing group. So definitely get in there if you're not already.
And get in there now because we're about to announce something big that we can't reveal right now.
Big
and
surprise.
I'm having a hard time containing myself. But we've been, Julie, myself, and our friend Louise, we've been working on this for a while. I would say months. And we finally come upon something that I think all of you will really love. So get in our Facebook group before we make that announcement because you'll want to be there for
Absolutely.
It.
I cannot wait to release this into the world. I think it's just going to be such great value for everyone. I'm so excited about it.
And another thing we want to release into the world is reviews.
Yes. Please help us get
if you have a moment, take a moment, go into Apple Podcasts, give us a 5-star rating. You hear all of the other podcasters do it. It's just general, I don't know, it's like industry standard. We need good reviews in order to have more listeners, in order to get more sponsors, in order to get more guests. It's just like the gift that keeps on giving by giving us a 5-star review. It takes 2 seconds. If you can leave a nice little comment, even better. If you can tell us how you found us in your comment, that's awesome because we love hearing like the root of how you found us. So thank you for all of you, to all of you who've given us reviews already. But if you haven't yet, please, it would mean so much to us if you could leave us a review.
Yeah, we have a little over 300 now, but we know that we have a shit ton more listeners than that. So please, that is our plug to leave us that rating and review.
Fabulous. Now we're ready. Yes?
Yeah, let's hear it from Kimmy.
We've all heard that you can't judge a book by its cover, and it's what's on the inside that really matters. But our guest today is really about working from the outside in. But it's not exactly what you think. So let me just introduce her first. Her name is Kimmy Seltzer. She's a dating and makeover expert and image consultant who draws upon her experience as a therapist. She's also host of the Charisma Quotient podcast that we were also on, where she talks about how to build confidence from the outside in. She's consulted thousands of people to revamp their style, boost their confidence, and most importantly, find love. She lives in LA. She's been there for 17 years, originally from Chicago. She's 50 and in a monogamous relationship. Hi, Kimmy.
Hello, hey. Ladies.
What people don't know is we literally just recorded for Kimmy's podcast right before this.
I know. I feel like you guys are good friends already. Like, this is awesome.
We go way back, a whole half an hour.
This is equivalent to splitting a bottle of wine together.
Exactly.
We totally should have. Like during our break, why didn't we do that? We should have gotten someone.
That was a missed opportunity. Oh, well. Yeah.
Next time. Ladies, it's never too late. It's only 6:30. We can do it. But first and foremost, Kimmy, I want to know, what does it mean to work from the outside in? Is that saying that looks really do matter?
Yeah, they do. So, okay, I'm glad you introduced it the way that you did, because it isn't what you really think. And I think I would be amiss if I didn't share a little bit of my story and how I got here, because honestly, before my whole story happened, I used to work from the inside out. I used to be one of those, you know, people. But what happened is, as you said and mentioned, I'm from Chicago. And, you know, when I lived there, I lived a very traditional life. I had a traditional job. I was a traditional therapist. I had, the house, the picket fence, the kids, the dog, the husband. I still have the kids, but you see where the story's going. Anyway, what happened is we all picked up. We moved here to La La Land. We landed here. We do what all the other people here do. We get a divorce. Obviously, there were issues.
No, did you get a divorce or did you get an agent first? One or the other.
Oh, my God.
One or the other.
I didn't know that you had to get an agent. So that's how clueless I was. Now, if I were to do it all again, maybe I would. Obviously, there were issues, right, in this little fairy tale. But the truth of the matter is that in that moment of my life, I went through a very dark, dark moment. I call it my black period because, you know, if you saw me back then, my clothes really did reflect that black period. I mean, I wore ginormous black clothes. I still had the nursing bras on. And mind you, I was not nursing any longer.
Wow.
Like, that is how stuck I was. So, you know, like when there's a point in your life and you're going down a path and there's a fork in the road and you have a choice. Well, I was going down the dark path, and I just, you know, I remember being in bed for a long time. My family had to fly in and help me. I couldn't take care of the kids. I really didn't know what I was going to do with my new life, let alone attract something different, you know, because I'm thinking, oh my gosh, a single mom? Right. Like, who could love me? Oh. And I really thought that. So I remember, up until now, I thought the inside out was the way to go. I did a ton of counseling. I had really great support system, awesome friends, but I still couldn't get out of my own way. And so what happened is I just remember waking up one day and really taking a hard look in the mirror, and I hated what I saw. Wait a second. I was this confident person before, and the divorce just literally shattered me. And I said, you know what? I'm so fed up with the way I look. I'm going to go shopping. Like, I just remember that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get new clothes. I want to just feel better about myself. And what I didn't realize is that my body had changed. I lost a bunch of weight, but I didn't even see that before. But I started noticing all the clothes were getting really big on me. And so I go to the shopping market. I think it was a department store. I don't even remember where I was.
We've been in quarantine for so long. A mall?
What was that thing? It was a mall. I know, right? We crave those days again. But But the thing that I remember is I was pulling all the same clothes again, black, oversized, three times too big, I'm sure. And this personal shopper, she was watching me. And she comes up to me and she said, "Ma'am, I really think you should try this on." And she holds up this red dress that looked like three sizes too small. And I said, "That's so sweet of you, but that's really not my size and it's really not my color." And she said, "Honey, that is your size. That is your color. Try it on."
So were you dating at this point? Like, where were you in your life?
Oh, no.
You weren't even at a dating stage.
Oh, God, okay. No. I mean, I couldn't even get out of my house, you know? And so up until that point, I was still like trying to work on myself, right? Mm. But actually, that's a good question, because what happened in that moment, I caught my red dress moment. It was like she hit me over the head with that dress. You know how sometimes like you hear things in certain parts of your life that you're able to hear? Yes. I heard her loud and clear. I'm like, "I'm supposed to try that dress on."
Yes.
So I try it on. I twirl around like Cinderella. I look in the mirror and boom. I'm ready to
date again.
Yes. I became dateable. Yeah. You know. Hey, there should be a podcast about that. No, so that's great what thing. Happened. No, I know this sounds almost fairy tale-ish, but there was something that happened when I saw myself looking a certain way. It like snapped me out of this trance I was in. I'm like, wow, this is me. I just didn't see me for so long. So I bought that dress that day almost as a costume, because I didn't believe it yet, but I figured, okay, I'm going to wear this and marinate in it a little bit and see what happens. And this is what I see with a lot of my clients in the makeovers that I do, is that when you wear something, you start feeling better in your body and then you get a different response. Well, that's what happened. I walked out into the world with this red dress and all this magic started happening that you heard in my bio. Like, new suitors began to come my way, new opportunity. But here's the thing that I realized is that I was using the black clothes as a cloak to keep me invisible, because I was scared. I didn't want the attention. I didn't want to be seen. And that red dress really forced me to be not only be seen, but be comfortable with it.
Right.
And so from that moment on, this is when everything started shifting in my mindset. I'm like, wait a second. There is a symbiotic relationship between the outer and inner, and it's not superficial. And now I know that there's research to back that up, which I can share in a little bit. But what happened is that the more evidence I gained from the outside, it started like seeping in on the inside. And this is when I felt better about myself. Mm. And so now what I practice today is I really call myself a confidence therapist and an authentic dating strategist. Why? Because it really is about strategy and building confidence. And it's about feeling good about you and knowing how you can break patterns for yourself. So I raise people's style, emotional, and social intelligence so that people get what they want. And that's how it was all born.
So this is something that I hear all the time, but in the reverse, about Instagram models, that on the outside they look a certain way, but deep down they can't actually connect the two. And what you're saying is exact same thing, except it's in the reverse. Is that sometimes you can work on your inner self, but if you don't believe it externally, then you're not connecting the two. You're just living a life as two different people.
Exactly. No, that's really well put. And that's why, like, when I work with people, I always sit down as a therapist and really get a good history. I'm not this cookie cutter approach coach saying one size fits all, because it doesn't. Like, we all have different journeys. So those Instagram models have different journeys about their self-worth and validation than somebody who's not used to being visible and seen.
Right.
And so it's really taking a look at those three areas, style, emotional, and social, and saying, okay, what are some pieces that are missing in this puzzle to, you know, really plug in and have a different impact in the way that they're going at things? Because obviously, if people are not attracting what they want, there's something missing. And it's, you know what I mean?
I think that's the thing. It's like, we always say like, oh, looks shouldn't matter and all that stuff with dating. But the reality is it does, right? We can like sugarcoat it all we want. But people, I mean, that's what people judge, especially if you're on a dating app. Like, that's literally all you're seeing. You don't know that person. I guess to you, why are first impression so important, and why this focus on the external?
Yes. Okay. So yes, image matters. And now I'll just go into research, because I know you ladies like research as well. Yes. I'm not just this like LA blonde saying, oh, put on a dress, you'll look fabulous. You know, here's the thing that we know is that if you look at the definition, first of all, of image, image is the way that people perceive you, and that determines how they treat you. And when you look at first impressions, this is crazy. It used to be years ago that it takes 30 seconds to make a first impression. It's only 7 seconds now.
Wow.
Well,
7 seconds.
That
makes
sense.
People's like mental bandwidth is so low right now. It's like, just go,
completely.
Go, go.
And with this virtual world that we're in and swiping right and left, like, I really think that that has a lot to do with that. So now within first impressions, here's what's interesting. In the brain, what happens is that people are making judgments and assumptions on two things. One is the clothes that you wear. Two, the attitude that you have, which includes body language. 93% of communication is nonverbal. So it's not what you say is as important as how you portray yourself in your presentation. Now, I can already see like eyes rolling as they're listening to this. Well, you know, if a man doesn't like me for me, then forget them. And I'm not going to change who I am. You know, like, I get
that's
that a
exactly
lot.
How she sounds. How right? do you know?
You know her? Yeah. But this is what I want to kind of flip the thinking of, is that it's not about changing who you are. It's about marketing yourself in a way so that someone gets to know who you are.
Right.
And that's the difference. So many people have been passed by and opportunities that have been missed simply because it was bad marketing and advertising. And I really like treat it that way. So like, I'll give you an example. I was working with this woman and she really had kind of a hard time putting herself out there in the way of pictures, even like dressing like sexier and feminine on dates and that kind of thing. When I looked into her profile, I don't do profile writing per se. I mean, I'll take a look at it. I know the formula, but I'm really good at the marketing aspect. Mm-hmm. And that's the pictures, right? And so I knew exactly why she wasn't attracting what she wanted. Now, I had done a lot of, again, outside and inside work. I had to have her really start owning her body, owning her femininity. I gave her a ton of exercises around that, and it was hard for her. But then it was time for the pictures, and we really had to change it. Now, when I looked in her profile before, mind you, she had pictures of her in sweats and scrubs, because she was like, I think she was a doctor. She had a picture of a ginormous mountain with her this big, where you couldn't even see her. This is a lot, like, this is a problem.
Yeah.
A lot of, but it's a lifestyle shot. Like, I don't care. It's a lifestyle shot. We can't even see you. Like, what good is the mountain if we can't see you? And then there was also another picture that put her in a really bad light. Like, it was just not a flattering picture. And then there was one picture that was super hot. Like, she was all dressed up. She had this kind of like coy look on her face and a little like smile. I'm like, where's that? Like, why aren't you putting that out more and wear more of that? And she's like, oh, I don't know. That's just one that, you know, I had a professional shoot done for this thing that I was in and blah, blah. I said, yeah, that's what I want more of. So we did a whole photo shoot. We put that picture along with some of the other ones, like full body, one in a red dress, you know. She got a whole new inventory of guys that was such better quality, and what she was looking for in that pool was her boyfriend.
Love
and they're
it.
Still together today. It was a marketing issue.
You know what I love about that, though, is because I think sometimes when you hear like, oh, it's the outside first, you're like, fuck, am I going to have to like change the way I look completely? Mm-hmm. And am I ugly, or am I too short, or whatever it is, right? Your hangups. But you're saying it's just putting your best foot forward and working with what you have and showing how you can look best in that light. I guess, like, how do you gain that confidence, though, especially in a world we live in with like Instagram models or people on TikTok or just like all this like portrayal of beauty for men and women?
Let's take a break so we can bring you another great book recommendation. So imagine this: Game of Thrones meets The Princess Bride, in this hilarious series combining romance and high fantasy by New York Times and USA Today bestselling author Carolyn Sparks. The book is called The Siren and the Deep Blue Sea. Book 2 in the Embrace by Magic series is unlike most fantasy books, because I don't like most fantasy books, but this one embraces love, friendship, family, and adventure. The heroines, who are equals to their heroes, are the driving force to changing the world. So check out The Siren and the Deep Blue Sea anywhere books are sold. And for more information, just go to kensingtonbooks.com. Now back to the show.
Well, yeah, first and foremost, if that's tripping you up, that's where you have to start working, right? Because if you're comparing yourself to others and you're not seeing your own worth, your own beauty, your own value, that's where you have to start, because there's deeper issues there. I am seeing trends, like how you ladies looking at trends. It's really interesting. I just think the different generations that the social media has placed on our validation. So because so many people are, to your point, comparing themselves. So a lot of times I'll put people on social media fasts during this time. I'll say, don't look at other pictures. Don't look at anybody. I want you focusing on you. The second thing that I do is really helping people own what they have. And like, I will make people even come up with three things that they love about them in a physical sense. I'm like, it can be a toenail. It can be a tooth. I don't care. Give me something.
I love my front tooth so much.
So much. Sexy. Like, it's so hot. I love this tooth. Yeah, exactly. Especially with women, we often focus on what we don't like versus what we do. And so helping people first own their beauty with what they like, and then it's finding clothes and things that accentuate those pieces. So I have something called the 3C formula, very scientific in the way I approach clothes.
I'm writing this down.
I know. Yes. I love this.
Because I think a lot of times we get tripped up on, I can't wear that, or I shouldn't wear this, or, my friend looks better in that. And really, it's about your body type and knowing what clothes flatter that body type and what clothes to stay away from. So that's the first C, is knowing your cut. And I actually have a free body type that I'm happy to pass on to your listeners. It's a guide where people can measure themselves and understand like what body type they are.
Oh, yes,
please. I was just going to ask, how do you even know what body type you are and what looks good on you? Where do you even start?
For women, there are five body types, and for men, there are three. Men, I have a man's fashion manifesto guide, which is really cute for them, because I know secretly you all want to know about fashion, but you don't like talk about it on a Sunday afternoon. Like, that's not something guys talk about. But there are certain rules with each of these body types. And then the second C.
Before we go into the second C, can you give us an example of like maybe one for women and one for men? Because I'd love to dive in a little deeper on that.
Well, sure. You know, I think for women, no matter what body type you are, you're always trying to achieve symmetry. And the most symmetrical body type is the hourglass. Okay. You probably have heard that before, but I think a lot of times people have a different definition in their mind of what an hourglass truly is. It's actually where your shoulders and your hips are exactly the same size and proportion, and your waist goes in a little bit. It's not about being the voluptuous woman. That's not truly what an hourglass is. It's just that you're perfectly symmetrical. To be honest, probably like 8% of the population is a true hourglass. Like, it's that's not the most common. And so, you know, there's like inverted triangle, there's rectangle, there's all kinds of body types. But when I teach people like what cuts work with them, what I'm trying to do is balance out that silhouette so that you look more symmetrical. So then when you see yourself in a picture, that already is a confidence booster, because a lot of times people have the wrong things on. They see themselves in the picture like, ugh, I hate pictures of myself. But if you go to my site, kimmyseltzer.com, you'll see a ton of before and after pictures. And it's remarkable. Like, some people look like they lost 15 pounds, and that was within like 10 minutes of each other.
I looked at that and I was like, is that the same person? Like, they looked amazing. But that's crazy, because I actually talked to a friend of ours about just some tips, and he was like, you should just wear a blazer, like a black blazer, and then like wear something like a color that pops, because that will like frame your body a bit more. So do you have any like tips, like just very tactical types of tips that people can use?
Okay, I don't know who your friend is, but I would not do that. I would not do a blazer.
No, sorry,
Don't take that tip.
Nope. No offense. No. Well, here's the thing, because we're talking about dating and it depends what setting we're talking about. Oh, right?
That's true. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
true.
Because
that's
if you're talking about work, yes.
Yes.
But, like, for a dating profile, what not to wear, like, do not wear blazers. Yeah. So, like, for instance, if you have, and we can go into this after the three C's, but, like, there are certain looks that men find sexy and certain looks that women find sexy. Mm-hmm. And that's also another layer to what looks good on your body. Okay. So that we'll put that, like, to the side and
leave a cliffhanger.
In terms of the tips. What'd you say?
I said leave a cliffhanger for people.
Yeah. Do you like how I did that? Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Foreshadowing. So then what is flattering for a certain body type? So let's say that you're an inverted triangle. That means that your shoulders are wider than your hips. What you're going to want to really do, the most important thing, is looking at, like, your collar line. Because you have wide shoulders, you're trying to narrow the shoulder so they balance out the hips, so that you're going to want to do something like a V-neck or a U-neck rather than like a strapless, because the more skin you have up here, it's going to widen that area. These are some of the things that I go over in my virtual makeovers, and it's super fun because, like, sometimes in a video, like, I can show people the differences between the different cuts, and that we'll go virtual shopping together and I'll pick out outfits, and they see the difference in their pictures that they upload to me versus something that I'm suggesting, and it's like a drastic difference a lot of times.
And Kimmy, so, are men trying to achieve the symmetry as well?
Yeah. Now with men, what's different for them is, you know, they don't have as much variation in their bodies. So because when I say there's three body types, it more has to do with, like, the stocky man versus the real skinny man versus, like, tall and short. Mm. And so there's certain, like, clothes that flatter each of those, you know, types, I will say. So, like, for a guy who's really tall, for instance, layering the clothes is really good for them because it breaks up that line versus dressing monochromatically, because that actually provides length. So a short guy should do that, right?
Oh,
and so these are fun things, you know, and this is what I hope that you all get from this, is that it's not like, oh, I got to go do all this and this is such a pain. It's actually kind of exciting knowing that there is something you can do that has an instant effect,
right?
An instant result. Right. Like, all the inside stuff takes time. This is instant.
Right.
And this is why we need to forget, we need to really not pay attention to the Instagram models and all the fads and trends out there, because there are certain body types that these trends just do not work on.
Right.
Like, the high-waisted jeans will never look on my body, no matter how many pairs I
yes.
try on. I'm just going to give that up.
Right.
Oh my God, I'm so glad you said that, because here, there's a difference between fashion and style, and people use that sometimes interchangeably. So style is what's everlasting, and that's what I focus on. That is something that's you, and that should just be you. Fashion are trends, things that come and go, and you are so right. In fact, I always look at these morning shows and they come out with, like, the trending thing.
Yeah.
And I always say to myself, you know, that looks good on probably 5% of the population.
Right.
Not only that, guys would not find that attractive.
Right.
You know, like, yeah.
I want to hear the other C's, but before we get into that, can you just go through the other female body types now that you kind of shared the three male ones?
Oh, sure. So I think I mentioned the hourglass, and then there's inverted triangle, which is the shoulders are wider than the hips. Then you have a triangle, which is the opposite. That's where your shoulders are smaller than your hips, right? And the hips go out. Then we have the rectangle, and that's where your shoulders, your waist, and your hips are all the same. Or sometimes people refer to it as a boyish cut.
Mm.
So that, like, with that body type, for instance, you're really going to want to work on accentuating the waist to cause more of that, like, silhouette. And then the fifth one that I put in there, and this is the only one, by the way, that has to do with just weight, because all the other ones have to do with your bone structure. It has nothing to do with your weight, is I call it the diamond, because especially women, as we get older, we tend to carry weight in the stomach area, and with menopause and hormones and all that stuff. So I think it's important to talk about, because that's a problem area for a lot of women. And that can be in conjunction with some of the other ones. And so then on top of it, you have to look at height. You also have to look at breast size, because that also plays into what clothes work.
Got it. Cool. That's so helpful. I think I'm the square. I think I figured it out.
You know what? We should do a virtual makeover and film it with you.
Oh my God.
I'll tell you exactly what you are.
So fun. I love that idea. Love it.
Let's hold that thought for a sec. We'll get right back to it.
Did you know that an estimated 5 billion plastic hand soap and cleaning bottles are thrown away each year? Yeah, not great for our already struggling environment. That's why I'm so excited to talk about our partner today, Blue Land. Blue Land is on a mission to eliminate single-use plastic by reinventing cleaning essentials to be better for you and the planet with the same powerful clean you're used to. And the concept is pretty simple. You just fill your reusable bottles with water, drop in the tablets, and wait for them to dissolve. I literally just tried out the laundry tablet, and instead of having to bring my huge container like I normally do down the hall, I just brought the one tablet and my clothes came out so clean, just as clean as normal. I'm fully on board. It just makes my life easier and I'm helping the environment. And the best part, Blue Land has a special offer for listeners. Right now, get 15% off your first order by going to blueland.com/dateable. You won't want to miss this. blueland.com/dateable for 15% off. That's blueland.com/dateable to get 15% off. I am all about self-care these days, and guess what? Body care is also self-care. Taking care of your body is a moment to practice mindfulness, self-love, and compassion, all things that I am fully behind right now. That's why I'm so glad to share a promo from one of our new sponsors, Osea. I'm obsessed with their Mega Moisture Duo that provides instant firming hydration and delivers a full body glow. It makes me feel so confident and refreshed to walk out the door with unbelievably glowing skin. And there's nothing more I love than getting premium skincare products at an incredible value. So, show your skin some love with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide and use the code DATEABLE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use the code DATEABLE for 10% off.
Want relationship advice from one of the leading experts in the field of couples therapy? Then Reimagining Love is for you. Hosted by one of our favorite guests on Dateable, Dr. Alexandra Solomon. She is a clinical psychologist, couples therapist, professor, and award-winning author. It is your destination for profound, enlightening discussions about love, family, intimacy, and everything in between. But more than that, she gives us the opportunity to reimagine ourselves, our relationships, and our world. So on the show, Dr. Alexandra gives in-depth research-backed takes on topics like dating, jealousy, communication, commitment, personal growth, and features notable guests from the worlds of therapy, academia, and pop culture, such as me and Julie from Dateable, among other people you may have heard of like Esther Perel, Susan Cain, and Emily Nagoski. Her podcast is incredible, definitely worth a listen. We loved being on it, and we love having Dr. Alexandra on our show. So you can find her podcast, Reimagining Love, wherever you get your podcasts.
That's a great idea. Okay, we should do it at the end. I mean it. We should do it.
Okay.
So what are the other C's?
Yeah. Okay. So then moving to the second C is color. Color. Mm. Oh, color. It's so simple, yet so many of us don't. And I was guilty of it. You heard my story. Black is so safe. A lot of women I find tend to enjoy more the subdued, dull colors. Mm-hmm. And believe me, I love black. I think black is really classy. In fact, I recommend it. It's very slimming too. Mm-hmm. But it's fun to pop color, and color actually can attract a guy. So here, I'll give you a little like strategy. So ladies, there is actually research out there that now it has been proven that guys are attracted to red. You've probably heard this before, but now we know why. Do you want to, it's crazy. I just read an article on it.
Why?
Because it's the color of menstruation. So it actually signifies fertility.
Fertility.
I thought you were going to say like fire, hot, but menstruation works too.
I know. So I think it's this like subliminal thing that goes on with guys. They're so attracted. So I always recommend a woman having a picture of herself online wearing something red.
Ooh,
because
I'm
it's
do
a
that
showstopper.
Tip. You know what? I was sriracha once for Halloween, and it was when I was in like the best shape of my life too. And I was wearing like a like a red tube top. I feel like that was the most attention I've ever gotten in a single night. So the red works.
Yeah. Awesome. Yes. That's awesome. Yeah. No, and you know, like what happened in my own story, there's also something really like it's almost a confidence booster for a woman to be able to walk in a room with a red dress, have a picture of herself out there, because you are putting yourself out there in a brighter color. Mm-hmm. But the psychology of color is really, really fascinating. It's interesting. And even in the business world, because I do work with people in the business world as well, there's certain colors that are associated with like sales, yep, with authority, you know? And so knowing your colors are really important, but especially in relation to attraction. Now, the right colors are important because like you has Asian skin and that's different than like Julie and I have a lighter skin tone. There are certain colors you can wear and then certain colors Julie and I cannot wear. So it's important to know that because sometimes it'll make you look like sickly or faded in pictures. And also I'm going to go on a rampage here because we're talking about color.
Go for it.
I'm really against, and this has to do with camera work too and Zoom dates, really highly against wearing patterns. Mm. And you probably know this about being on TV, right?
Well, like, just solid colors always look better.
Yeah.
Especially on camera, if you're trying to take photos, it's slimming. It makes you look clean and professional, all of the above. And just patterns create a weird effect on camera too. So sometimes it can make you look bigger than you really are.
Yes.
Yeah, I know UA, you always give me that advice. You're like, do not wear
solid patterns. Colors. Yeah, when in doubt, solid colors.
So I'm curious, Kimmy, like you mentioned our complexion, both you and I are a bit more whiter, paler.
Yeah.
And then UA is Asian, darker complexion. So what colors kind of work better for people of our complexion versus UA's complexion?
Yeah, for lighter skin tones, I always recommend like a higher pigment or higher, like a brighter hue. So think jewel tones. Jewel tones look really good because there's like more contrast on our skin versus like a pastel. Like the worst colors for us are really pale colors or like gray. I can see that. Right.
Really? That's so interesting because I've always thought, oh my gosh, only my white friends can wear Easter colors. Like, I don't think I can wear a light pink or a light purple, but okay. All right.
Feel like I've gravitated to gray and light pink and now I'm regretting it because you're right. It doesn't look good in photos. It never looks good.
But you know what's good is a bright pink. Oh, by the way, bright pink and fuchsia, that's also highly attractive for guys. Like, they like that.
I can see that. Bright. I like that. Yeah.
So you could wear a color that you like, but if you just work with the pigmentation of it, sometimes can make a huge difference. That's why I'm not a true colorist where in a sense, like in the old school sense that they go like, oh, you're a winter, you're a summer, you're a fall. I do more by tonality because I think fabrics dye differently and different. There's different tones of colors that look good on some people and not so good on others. And then UA, your skin tone, actually Asian skin has some yellow in it. Mm-hmm. So like what to stay away from are things like orange and yellow, because that's going to make you look a little more sickly. But what looks great on you, like you're wearing black right now. Oh, I just think it's stunning. I think black on Asians with like the dark hair is just stunning, especially if you pop like a red lip. It's just really, really mysterious and like sexy. But then like navy looks good on you and also certain reds, but like a blue red. You don't want to do like an orange red.
Yeah.
Right. But you probably know this, like being on TV. So, you know, again, it does make a big difference. And even like if you're doing a Zoom date.
Oh yeah.
Your energy will seem different when you're wearing different colors. Right. So just be mindful of that. Like, give yourself some time to do some prep work before you go on a virtual date. It's just like a regular date. And I think too many people are not paying attention to that.
And for all the men out there, I think they should experiment with colors as well. I mean, don't stick to just your grays and your blacks and your white. I think there's just so many different, I think some men look incredible in a moss green.
Yeah.
And more men wear that color. And some guys look incredible in a baby pink.
Right. Yes. Right. For some. Well, I think the problem is with black is we've been told all of our lives that it's slimming and it makes you. And the problem is, though, that everyone wears black. So there's nothing that makes you stand out. Like, I'm thinking about going into a bar and then everyone's in black and one person's in red. Like, you're going to see that person just default, right? So why not let yourself stand out? And maybe it doesn't need to be red, but even the guy in green, that would stand out from all like the sea of gray, right?
Exactly. And I think the big thing is just taking a look at like how you're wearing colors and why. Like, again, with my story and a lot of clients that I've helped, I knew that my black clothes, now that I look back on it, was, again, it was the cloak. It was just to keep me invisible. I didn't want to stand out. I didn't want to be seen. I didn't like think about that at the time, but now I realize it was, versus like somebody who's just wearing black every now and then, but still has sprinkle of color like that. Right. It's different, you know, in how you're wearing it. Just a really funny, cute story. I was helping a client, and it's funny because she came to me for dating coaching. Now I used to do, and hopefully I can get back to it, to do wing girl sessions where I go to the bars and I help people flirt and like teach them how to navigate a room. And she just wanted that. Like, she just hired me for pure dating coaching and some of the inside work. But then when she showed up, I said, honey, I'll help you, but we got to do something about your clothes. She's like, what's wrong with my clothes? Like, these are really expensive. I said, it's not about having expensive clothes, but she had these beige like garments on. And then she literally had a shawl wrapped around her black. That was like her love shield, you know? So I'm like, you are literally like guarding yourself against attention, you know? So my assignment to her before we even got into everything is I had her get a red lipstick and wear it for a week just to see the impact it would have, right? She thought it was so weird. And so then, because I didn't do anything else with her, I said, just do this. And so she did it and she came back. She said, oh my God, Kim, that magic red bullet, it totally worked. I said, what happened? She said, well, I wore it for a week and like all these guys started talking to me like this. This never happens. And what happened was, again, the symbiotic relationship, because as she got more attention, she was able to have the confidence to give that energy back. It was working hand in hand. And from that moment on, I literally created a monster because we went shopping, we got all these like sexy clothes, and now people go to her for like fashion advice and flirt advice.
She's protege. Great.
Totally. And actually, she's in San Francisco now, so you might see her out there.
With the red lips.
So we got cut color. What's the third one? Cut color, and then what's the third C?
And confidence clothes. And so what I mean by that is everyone has something in their closet that they pull when they have a social event or a date. And it's usually something they feel confident in, you know, or maybe they got complimented in it. Like, just determine, like, take that outfit out and determine what is it about that outfit that you like. Have you gotten compliments? Is it like the way it feels? Is it the fabric? Is it just the cut? Do you feel like slim in it? And once you determine that, it's almost like doing an audit for yourself. Just get more of those things because you know this, like when you feel good in your clothes, it's a game changer. You feel, you move differently.
Right.
Right.
I totally have this romper that we had a past date of mine on the show.
Oh, yeah, you love that romper.
He called it out that I had it in too many of my profile photos and then I showed up in the same romper on the date.
So really?
It was like clearly my like signature piece that you just mentioned. But I think it is like, because I think I'm a square body type, but the romper had...
cinch waist.
Yeah, it had like a tie around the waist to kind of cinch it, like... you were saying of how do you make it more of an hourglass with that.
Oh,
so I'm
right.
Now taking inventory that maybe it's not that I need to just wear that one romper, but I should be getting more stuff like that romper.
That's a good example. Right. You could take the elements of that and then replicate it in a dress, in the way that you wear just like your tops and your pants. And maybe it's the fabrics that kind of hug that area. Yeah, definitely.
So Kimmy, in your experience, and I want to go back to your original story of your journey, when you first bought that red dress, you felt like it was a costume. At what point does that dress feel like it's no longer a costume, but it's a part of you? When is that turning point?
Oh, that's a really great question. And I don't think one size fits all, literally. That I think it just depends on your journey and where you're at. For me, for instance, if I had put that red dress on right when everything happened, right after my divorce, I think it would have taken me a lot longer. But I had done work. Mm-hmm. I had a period of time where and then I just got fed up that I needed to do something to like shift me. So for me, it started happening, you know, within a couple months. But the instantaneous effect that it had on me, it like literally overnight. I know that sounds almost weird, but I see it with the makeovers that I do. Like, and this is what's so powerful to me, is that sometimes I can shift someone quicker in one makeover session. And I do inside work as well, and flirt session and all that, than I did years of sit down therapy. And the reason is because you're viscerally going through something, you're feeling something, you're collecting evidence. And it again, it's that symbiotic kind of impact it has. But it is different for everybody. Like, for instance, and this is just being a therapist talking, like if somebody's been sexually abused, that's a different profile. And that's going to be like a different journey than right. somebody who just had something bad happen, like a divorce. I'm not minimizing or saying one is, you know, worse than the other. Right. I'm just saying it's a different journey and different healing process.
Right. So, okay. So I love what you just said, because they're like quick tips that can, like, if you just invest a little time in research, you can do these like quick shifts to really make a difference. Because I know one of the things I struggle with is when I like go out for the night, I can like take the time, I can look good, I can do my hair, all that. But sometimes just on a day to day, it's just so much effort. It feels like it's like a lot of time. And it's hard to like carve that time out and make it something that you continually do. Like, what are some tips that you have outside of just even clothes that can like let you just go to the supermarket or grocery store and just be looking good? Because you just never know who you're going to meet anywhere, right? So it's like, why reserve it for that like one night out? Like, let's just, is there like little things you can do every day in your life that doesn't feel overwhelming?
And can we just give you a little backstory? San Francisco is so different from LA.
Yeah. Oh, I know that.
Of Lululemon wearing, you know, Uggs wearing, coffee drinking granola heads, where if as a woman or a man, if you just dress up a little bit, you'll get a ton of attention because you really do stand out. So to Julie's question, what is something, I mean, I'm going to speak for myself. I'm lazy when it comes to dressing up and getting done up for something. But what is something we can do that's sustainable on a day-to-day basis?
I'm super lazy
and
too.
By the way, I totally know the San Francisco culture. I actually have coached and done wing girl sessions with a ton of people up in San Francisco. And it is, and because every environment's different, everyone's lifestyle's different. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'll say is that for women, just know that guys find you super hot and attractive in yoga pants, and they also love you in a t-shirt and jeans, and they also love you in a dress and heels. Okay. So getting ready means different things, and it doesn't have to always be all dolled up in, you know, a dress and heels. Right. Okay. So I just want to like say that. But what it is it's being mindful and thinking about the care that you're putting into yourself before you go out or before you have a date. And yes, like to Julie's point, and I teach people this all the time, like the opposite sex is everywhere. They're everywhere. You know, you can meet people in coffee shops, even like if we're still in COVID, when you're listening to this, the masks can be super sexy. Like you can be really mysterious. Like this is the new masquerade, literally. Like I've been saying it. So, you know, it's just the way that you put yourself out there. And so if it means, okay, I'm going to comb my hair, I'll put a little lip gloss on. I'm going to put these yoga pants on that are comfortable, but I know I look super cute in them. Then that's your outfit. That's your outfit going out versus not combing your hair, having no makeup, looking disheveled. You know, maybe you just walked your dog with these ginormous like sweatpants on that don't fit you. Like it's different. It's the self-care. So anytime people are feeling rushed or like, I just don't want to do like a date or I don't want to go out looking like this, my answer is don't. then just don't, you know, because what you're going to do yourself a disservice, and you're going to show up in that social event or in public or on that date with that mindset and with that body. Yeah. You know, it's an energy that's going to seep from you. So I always tell people, give yourself some prep time. Even put together like date prep plans for people so that they are able to decompress the day. They get rid of like the masculine or the feminine energy, like whatever sex you are. And so that you're really kind of getting into that like sexy time.
I love that.
And feeling good about yourself. You're turning off the left brain. You're turning on the right brain. You're getting more playful. And that's why I love clothes, because it truly can act as a costume to help you get there.
Yeah. And I know for me too, it's like, I make all these excuses in my head, but really, even if I don't put on a ton of makeup, but I just put on like eyeliner and mascara and lip gloss or lipstick, it goes a long way.
Yeah.
And it literally takes like 2 seconds. So it's like, it's
totally,
it's an excuse when you're saying it doesn't take time. And it doesn't need to be like the full on, but even something that will boost your confidence is better than nothing.
And it's a change of perspective. It's not so much about a nuisance or a burden of getting ready.
Yes.
It's about carving out me time before I go out.
For sure. And I think that's great too. And before we go into takeaways, I do want to hear, like, Kimmy, you gave us a little teaser earlier about...
I was wondering if you come back to that.
Oh, we're not forgetting that one.
You guys are good.
What is it? It's ways that women and men can dress that appeal to the opposite sex. Is that what it is?
Oh, there's so many, and it's really fun. Okay. So we'll start with what men find sexy.
Okay.
Because I have male clients and female, so I'm constantly surveying like both sexes, like, what do you find sexy? And so here's what I hear. The number one thing that men find sexy, obviously, is confidence, just overall. Like, I think that. But then what shows that is how comfortable you feel in your body. Mm-hmm. That's why the clothes you wear is really important. Guys don't really care about like the size, the shape, the body. Like if you own your body and you think you're the bomb and you think you're sexy, they will too. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I just want to start out with that because I think that's really crucial in the mindset. And then in terms of the clothes, I think that, you know, they all love women in dresses. They really do. You know, I can't tell you how many times that women will say, oh, well, I can't wear dresses, or they're not me, or I live in a cold state. Like I've heard a lot of women not want to wear dresses. And what I say to that, it's fine. I mean, if it's not you, that's fine. But just know that that's something that a man finds sexy. And let's talk about it. Is it the brand that maybe is not fitting you?
Right.
Is it because you're truly cold? But let's talk about, like, are you really going to be outside, you know, on your first date? You know, like let's look at the excuses.
Could you wear, like, tights? Like, there's many, like, options. Yes. Like, it doesn't need to just be, like, this sundress. There's very many variations of a dress.
Yeah. But, you know, I do a ton of live events and workshops, and I'm always, like it all the hands go up. When I talk about dresses, I never see a guy go, ew, no, I don't like women. Like, it just doesn't happen, right? Now, on the other side, and you ladies can chime in because we're all women. Oh, like, we just enjoy when men care. Like,
yes.
I think guys just get lazy. They don't, they like us to be all dressed up and everything, but they don't think that we, like, really like that. So, like, good grooming is really uber important.
Very,
like, that
important.
Like, trimming the nose hairs, we like that, you know, like the ears, the here and the, like, sometimes even we'll get fixated on little things like that will turn us off. So just, that's an easy fix, being mindful of your grooming habits and also being put together. But we women love a well-dressed man, and it doesn't mean that he has to be, again, like in a tuxedo or a suit, even though that's super, like, hot. But we also like a guy in jeans and a t-shirt, but as long as it fits him.
Right.
Baggy jeans, no. Acid wash jeans, no. Like, we just, you know, like, we like a nice tailored outfit.
I think on a first date too, or just even early stages of dating, it just shows that you gave this person a little bit of time. Like, there's something there. Like, I know for me, I always try to wear a dress because it takes me out of my normal day. And it like steps it up a little, right? Because I'm now putting emphasis that I'm excited to meet this person and be there. And I think for a guy too, like if they just show up in like, I mean, I've heard of stories where guys like show up in like gym shorts, and that just literally means that you just didn't give this any time, right? And I think just something as simple as just jeans and like a button-down shirt or like a flannel shirt, that's not crazy, but it just shows that they're like put together and they're giving this some thought. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like they're trying to impress in some capacity. But I do think men just don't know where to start a lot of the time.
You know what, Julie? I think you're right. Because normally, like when I'm dressing a guy, they really do want to know. They want to please us. They right. A lot mm-hmm. of times either, right, they didn't think about it and they just don't know. To be honest, I much prefer shopping with men because they just want to please. They're like, yeah. Oh, wait, do you like this? Does this look good? Okay, I'll take five of them. That's cool. Like mm-hmm. women are like, I don't like the way my arms look. And like, we're a lot pickier yeah. and harder on ourselves, I think. So yeah, when a man actually does get help around it, it makes a huge difference. And going to the profile pictures, oh my gosh, like if you're a man listening to this, you will have a leg up on all the men out there if you just dress well and not take just a selfie in the mirror with like your shirt off. Like that, you're already ahead of the game right. when you're dressing nicely.
I think the tip you gave earlier for men that are on the shorter side too of just like wearing things that are like more chromatic, that's huge because we hear people all the time being like, this is such a problem for me and it's something I can't change. Like no yeah. one's going to measure how tall you are anyways. So how can you just make that perception? That's a really big thing.
I really appreciate a man who has style.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
When I first moved to San Francisco and I walked around the city, I was like, most of these men do not have a style. If I went up to them and said, what's your style? What does your closet look like? I think most of them would just say, whatever my company gave me as right. free swag. So it's really nice because it shows me that the guy really knows himself and therefore mm-hmm. he was able to create a style for himself. But that's really evolved. That's like a very evolved man.
I think though yeah. also is like a lot of times men will talk to men that get feedback from their dates that they came off looking young. And I think like if they wear their company t-shirt and jeans or just a t-shirt and jeans or gym shorts, that makes you look younger. So one of the things to instantly fix that without totally going to the gym and like redoing like your whole body, like some instant fix, like you were saying, is just dressing the part a little differently.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And looking at who you're trying to attract, because remember, like attracts like, and this is another fun thing about the clothes is that are you putting out what you're getting back? And like, I was doing a virtual makeover with this guy who really wanted somebody who, like a woman who was athletic and put together and all that. And yet when I saw him on camera and his image online, that's not at all what he was, right? And so I said, if you're wanting to attract that woman, you have to dress the part, you know? And so we put him into more kind of athletic clothes and had him kind of create that vibe for himself that he truly wanted and was, but he wasn't marketing that. And so the minute he did that, he started attracting more athletic women.
Interesting.
Makes sense.
So should we go to takeaways? I feel like this conversation yes. has been so interesting. I think my biggest one, you hear all the time, it's the inside first and all of that. And I think it really isn't inside or outside, but it's a combination. And I do yeah. think inner work does take longer. And I think historically, I also thought that outer work took longer. Like I need to drop that 15 pounds or I need to do whatever it is that's like top of mind. But I think what I'm learning from you is capitalize on all these little things that you can shift because the little things can actually make a big difference. And that doesn't mean that you forget about the big things. Like, yeah, if you feel like you have some weight to lose, like I know I've been there, I feel better if I've lost that weight. I feel healthier. But it doesn't mean that I need to like wait to start dating till I'm 15 pounds lighter. Like that just is like the waiting game that can go on forever. So it's like, how do you maximize with working with what you got and loving what you got?
Mm-hmm. I love it.
My takeaway is this conversation really isn't so much about makeup or hair or clothes or the brands of the clothes you wear. It's about how you feel and how you present yourself. So it's really the fourth C. It's the charisma factor. Color, confidence, and charisma.
Yeah.
And that really comes from the vibe that you put off. So I, after this conversation, I'm going to go do an audit of my closet and put on some of the clothes that I wear on a daily basis or on a regular basis and think about, like, what is it that, how do I exude my energy from this outfit? And is it the energy that I want to put out into the universe? Because sometimes, you're right, we have those cloaks in our closet. I definitely have a few. On those days I want to be invisible, I wear that. And that's okay. We can have those cloaks. And then we have those that are like showstoppers. And those showstoppers, I think every woman and man should have two outfits that are ultimate showstoppers in their wardrobe that they know the exact right event or whatever it may be to bring out those showstoppers and really present yourself in that showstopping way.
I love that. But I also think there should be showstoppers or that are more for the everyday. Like maybe it's that pair of yoga pants or jeans that you just know you look good in. Because I 100% agree you should have like those really showstoppers, like the ultimate showstoppers, but just having it in your day-to-day life that will, like, I think give potentially bigger dividends because it's so much more frequent as well.
For sure.
I love that. I love that. It's funny. I mean, Julie, it's so weird that you said about like just doing the small things add up to the bigger win. I say that all the time because sometimes people, you know, I love when people say, oh, just be more confident or just, you know, just do this. It's like, but if I knew how to do that, I would be doing that already. And and that's the thing about this stuff. They're tangible, small things that you can do to work towards the bigger thing that you're trying to accomplish. And I always say, you know, I define confidence a little bit differently, and it kind of relates to everything we're talking about. I don't believe that there's one person out there that's not confident. It has to do with experience and positive exposure. Because you could be confident at work, but maybe not a confident dater. And usually it's because either you had negative experience or maybe not enough experience around it. So the best way to build confidence is to get positive reinforcement, exposure, and experience to slowly build that confidence. And, you know, whether it's your style, you know, and maybe you're good in the style, but maybe you're not good with the emotional intelligence, you know, maybe it's the way you express yourself or you don't express yourself and the way you set boundaries and being vulnerable, or maybe it's the way you interact, your conversation skills, your flirt skills, all those things. Take a look at those three areas and where are the pieces that are missing that you can plug in to start building that confidence.
That's great. That's really wonderful. It just makes me feel so empowered, you know, because it's all in our control and it's just how we want to utilize the resources that we have. I spoke to a good friend of mine who's a life coach and I was going through some career stuff at the time. And I asked her, what are some things I should be doing with my life to just find more clarity around my career? And she said, let's start with clothes. And I was like, what? She's like, go pick out an outfit that's totally, you don't think it's your style, but you want it to be your style. Put it in your closet and try to wear it once a week just to see how it makes you feel. And it was, to me, it totally changed my perspective on how I saw myself and how I wanted to present myself. It was actually very empowering at that time. So it's not just about the superficial or external. It is, it comes from the in, but then it works its way out.
Yeah. I love that. Cause I mean, UA knows this, but I feel like I used to be really into like shopping and buying new clothes. And I just haven't been over the last couple of years. And it almost feels daunting to me. And I think like before this conversation, I think especially just not like with myself, but everyone is sometimes looks can be a very sensitive topic. And I think that's how we're like perceiving it, especially if you're hearing like, oh, we're going to talk about like fixing the external, right? Like that can come off as very overwhelming.
Scary.
But I think the way you've positioned it on this call is, I agree with you, UA, very empowering. And I'm excited to go through my closet and be like, which are those outfits that like, you know, get me excited. Because like thinking about it too, it's like when I've attracted like significant others or dates or the type of men I've been wanting to attract is when I felt my best.
And bingo. Bingo. Yes. And that's it.
Yep. And a lot of times, like, that was just wearing a certain outfit. And I think it's, yeah, it's a combination of like internal and external. It's not one versus the other. But again, this is that way to just kickstart whatever is kind of holding you back right now.
Well, and it's like what UA said too, is it's an empowerment, you know, this isn't about being superficial or not. It's about, gosh, what can I do to make a difference in how I feel about myself so I attract something different? And it's not about the man. It's not about the woman. It's about you. Mm-hmm. And when you feel good about you, others will too. Mm-hmm. Bottom line.
And for all the men out there who are kind of at a loss for how to define your style, well, you can always ask a girlfriend. If you're in a relationship, ask your partner. If you have some close girlfriends, take them shopping with you. We will be very honest. And if all those fail, you can always go to Kimmy.
I was going to say, when all else fails, or just go straight to me.
Start at the source, like no bullshitting. Just go
start
there.
Start with Kimmy. How can people find you?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest is to go to my website. It's kimmyseltzer.com, KIMMYseltzer.com. I'm all over social media, all with the name of Kimmy Seltzer. And of course, on my podcast, The Charisma Quotient. And you'll hear a lot of the C's over there. So, as well as you two lovely ladies, we just did a fun podcast. So,
yeah, check it out. We'll be linking that in our stuff too. So, yeah, definitely check out Kimmy and her podcast.
Wonderful. We're going to wrap this up.
Stay Dateable.
The Dateable podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
Want to continue the conversation? First, follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter with the handle @DateablePodcast. Tag us in any post with the hashtag StayDateable, and trust us, we look at all those posts. Then head over to our website, DateablePodcast.com. There you'll find all the episodes, as well as articles, videos, and our coaching service with vetted industry experts. You can also find our premium Why series, where we dissect, analyze, and offer solutions to some of the most common dating conundrums. We're also downloadable for free on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Overcast, Stitcher Radio, and other podcast platforms. Your feedback is valuable to us, so don't forget to leave us a review. And most importantly, remember to stay dateable.